Okay. Parashat Chaye Sara. Once again, as I say all the time, there's so much, every single pasuk, every single word, and every single pasuk of these parashiyot, you could speak about for hours and days and months and years. It's unbelievable. But let's just pick one aspect in the parasha and discuss it. So in the beginning of the parasha, we have introduced to us, right, proof that Merat HaMachpelah belongs to the Jews, right? Belongs to the Jews. Avraham Avinu goes to Ephron Achiti. He goes to Ephron. He says, listen, you know, there's a nice plot of land over here. I want to buy it so I could bury my wife. Right? Chaye Sarah. Right? Chaye Sarah. Sarah passes away. Avraham Avinu says, listen, I want to buy it so I could bury my wife. And there's this whole exchange, a lot of length in the Psukim, just discussing this whole transaction between Avraham Avinu and Ephron. Okay? Not only that, we find among these psukim, a lot of hidden things that are hiding inside of the psukim. One of them is actually the source of how a person gets married to a woman, right? As the Gemara in Kiddushin says, the Mishnah in the Gemara, all the way in the beginning of Masechet Kiddushin, it says, how do we know that when it says ki yikach ish isha, when it says yikach, right, it's referring to one of the ways to acquire a woman is through money. Right, one of the ways to do a kiddushin is through money. How do we know? So we have gzera shava, kicha misde Ephron. We have just like by marriage, when it says ki yikach ish isha, it refers to marrying a woman as ki yikach, as acquiring, right? Which with the word yikach or kach, the shorish of kach. So too, it says the same shorish, the same word. It says where in our parasha with the sale between Avraham and Ephron, buying the Merat HaMachpelah, the burial place. What does it say? It says over there, Asadeh Asher, Kanav, I'm sorry, it says, Natati Kesef Asadeh, Kach Mimeni. Right? So, Kach over here, Kach over there. So that's how we see that a person can acquire a woman through money. Right? So, why is it that we learn the laws of Kiddushin, laws of marriage, we learn from Dafka over here? There's no coincidence in the Torah. What's the connection? Question number one is, what's the connection between what's going on over here, this sale between Avraham and Ephron buying the Merat HaMachpelah, and every Jewish marriage? Number one. Number two, after the story comes the episode, next, right? Next, as they say, like next on, you know, Sefer Bereshit, right? Is the whole story of how Avraham Avinu sends Eliezer, his servant, to go and find a wife for who? For his son?
For his son.
Yitzchak. Okay? He sends Eliezer, he makes him promise, right? He corners him, he says, listen to me and listen good. Right? You make me a promise. You promise me that you're going to find a girl for my son Yitzchak among my people, from my people, not from anyone else, not from the other nations of the land. So one after another, first the story of Ephron and Avraham selling Merat HaMachpelah, and then immediately afterwards is what? Is Yitzchak. Yitzchak finding for himself, Eliezer finding for Yitzchak a wife. What's the connection between these two stories? Baruch atah Adonai Elohim Melech haolam, shehakol niyah bidvaro.
Amen.
Question number three. Eliezer travels to Avraham Avinu's hometown to find a shiduch. And what does he do? What does he bring with him? A bunch of camels. Okay? So really, he only needed one camel to ride. Why did he bring a million camels with him? Right, he brought a million camels with him. Fine. He brought a lot of camels. Brings a lot of camels. Traveling to Avraham Avinu's hometown. Finally, he arrives there. He arrives there, and he said, "Eliezer made a deal with Hashem. He said that whoever will offer me and my camels water, that's a sign. I'm going to take that as a sign that what? That she is
the one.
She is the one." So Eliezer finally arrives, and lo and behold, there's this pretty woman, pure woman, that comes out and offers him water. Not only offers him water, but also offers what?
His camel's
water. So Eliezer says, thank you Hashem for giving me the sign. That's the one. That's the one. So guys, I'm teaching you a lesson. Okay? You want to know which woman is the right one for you? Whoever offers you and your camel's water. Okay? So when you go out on a date, bring your camels with you and see if she'll offer you and your camels water. No, that's not the lesson of this parasha. But what is the lesson? So let's see. So Eliezer, what does he do immediately after? He says, this is the one. What does he do? What does he give her? Gives her some jewelry. To be exact, the Pasuk says in Pasuk Chaf Bet, he gave her a Nezem Zahav. Okay? He gave her a golden nose ring. Beka Mishkalo, its weight. It weighed a beka, it's a weight, right? And then he gave her Shnetz Midim Al Yadea, he gave her two bracelets, right? What was the weight of the bracelets? And you'll soon see the significance of this, why it's important. Well, how much did they weigh? Those two, specifically two bracelets, how much did they weigh? Asara Zav Mishkalam, it weighed 10 gold shkalim. That's how much it weighed, those two bracelets. What's the significance of this? So Rashi tells us right away, something very, very interesting, but very random. Rashi says he gave her a golden nose ring that weighed a beka, right? Why did he give her this golden nose ring that weighed one, that weighed a beka, right? Because what else in the Torah also weighed a beka? Anyone know? What else in the Torah also weighed, had the weight of a beka? Yeah, beka l'gulgolot, what is that? Yeah, where is that? Beka l'gulgolot, who reads the Torah over here? Where does that come from? Beka l'gulgolot, machatzit ha-shekel, right? On Purim we say, zecher l'machatzit ha-shekel, right? They want to see the shekel. So what was the weight? Beka, also a beka. So Rashi points out, Remez leshikle Israel beka legulgolet, right? It's a hint. He gave her this nose ring that the weight was the beka to, as a remez, as a hint to the machzit shekel. What in the world is a connection between this nose ring and machzit shekel? Number one, number two, the two bracelets. Rashi points out why two bracelets. What else is two? Shnei luchot abrit echad Eloheinu shnei luchot abrit. Right? To remez, to be a remez for the two tablets, the Shnei Luchot Abrit. What's the connection between these two bracelets, this present, this gift that Eliezer is giving her, and the Shnei Luchot Abrit? Next, Asara Zahav Mishkalam, what was its weight? 10 gold shekalim. What else is 10? Asara Dibraya. 10 commandments. The remez is what? 10 commandments. Eliezer gave her all these pieces of jewelry. Why? To hint to what? To the Machzit HaShekel, to the Shnei Luchot HaBrit, and to the Ten Commandments. What in the world? What's he saying? What's this message that the Torah is trying to send us? That's question number four. So to answer all these questions, guys, so let's go over very, very quickly. Okay, with the next 25 minutes, we're going to answer these four questions, right? With giving over a yesod of for dating and for marriage. So what are these four questions? First of all, we learn the laws of marriage from the sale between Avram and Ephron of Merat Mechpila. Number two, what comes immediately after this sale? The whole story of Eliezer going to find a wife for Yitzchak. And number three, Eliezer brought with him a bunch of what? Camels. What's the significance of that? All these camels. And number four, right? All the jewelry that he gave. What's the significance? The weight, remez to the machzit shekel and the shnei luchot abrit and the asarat that they brought. What's going on over here? Okay. So in order to understand this, we need to look for what? What do we need to look for in a spouse? Right? When we're looking, when we're on the market, as they say, we're on the market for a spouse, for a wife, right? What are we supposed to look for? Number one?
Good cooking.
And good cooking, okay, very good. Maybe we may or may not expound on what you just said right now. We won't. But, right? So what to look for in a spouse, number one. And what makes up a successful marriage? So the answer is one word. The answer is ahava. Love. When you think of marriage and successful marriages, the one word that comes to mind is what? Is love. Ahava. And if you think about the word ahava, so Rav Eliyahu Dessler famously says that the word ahava is not a root word on its own. It really has its own root word. What is the root word of ahava? Let's spell it out. Aleph, hey, bet, hey, ahava. Right? Rav Eliyahu Dessler writes in Michtav Me'Eliyahu Kuntros HaChesed, he writes that the word ahava comes from the word hav. Hav means to give. What's the explanation? What does this mean? Right? Because in order to love someone, you must give. The simple understanding, to understand this on a simple level, is that when does a person love something? When he invests into it, right? When a person goes and he, like my father, you know, if you live and be well, my father loves his lawn. He loves taking care of the garden in the front. Every single spring, he goes to Home Depot, he buys a bunch of different types of plants, right? Tomato plants and hot pepper plants and mint and so many different things, and sunflowers and many different flowers, and he puts in so much time into his garden. So much time into it. He loves it. Why does he love it? Because he puts so much time into it. He works so hard on it. He invests so much. He sacrifices so much just for that garden. Because when a person gives to something, when a person sacrifices from his own well-being for something else or for someone else, he ends up loving it or loving them.
Rabbi, that's why they say that you know how to value the things when you do it with your own sweat.
Exactly. It's exactly the point. Ever wonder why a parent loves a child more than a child loves a parent? Right? Why do your parents love you more than you love your parents? It's because your mother carried you for 9 months, okay? It's because from day one, she was feeding you. Your father went out to work, worked really hard, just to put food on the table for you, and just to put clothing on your back. Your mother dropped you off in school, picked you up from school, cooked dinner for you every single day of your life. They gave so much to you. They love you. What did you do for your parents? What did you ever do for your parents? You know? Hopefully you do a lot for them. But compared to what they do for you, there's nothing to compare. To love, many people think that the word love is like a state of mind. It's like, I'm in love right now. It's like an adjective, right? To describe, how are you feeling right now? I feel like I'm in love. No, it doesn't work like that. The word love is a verb. The word love is a verb. What's a verb? A verb is an action word. It's an action. It means to do. You want to love someone, you give to them. That's what love means. You love someone. How do you love someone? You give. You sacrifice. It's actively behaving in a way that benefits the other person in your life, even though it may not benefit you. It means doing things for another person, even if it's uncomfortable for you. Even if it's inconvenient for you. That's what love means. A question that's asked to me so often, so often, as I'm a rabbi in a college, so by definition, many people are dating, right? Either married or dating. So a question that I get all the time, Rabbi, do you think I'm ready to get married? So what do you think the answer to that question is?
No.
Yeah, no, you don't know him. Why are you saying no? He's maybe speaking for yourself. I don't know.
He's asking, he's not sure himself.
Huh? He's not sure, but he doesn't know if he's ready. When do I know if I'm ready or not?
When you're ready.
So the answer to this question is that you're ready to get married, all right? When you're ready to start living a life of giving and to stop living a life of taking. That's when you're ready to get married. Because that's what marriage is. Marriage is more giving and less taking, right? A famous joke that I always say is that, you know, men are always complaining that, you know, I'm working, I'm paying for the bills, I'm always supporting my wife, what if she doesn't do anything, right? So people think that marriage is give and take. You give, they take. But the truth is, that's how you have to live marriage. And both spouses have to live like that. When both the husband and the wife have that state of mind, that I need to give to my husband. I need to give to my wife. I need to sacrifice for my husband. I need to sacrifice for my wife. That's a beautiful marriage. That's a selfless marriage. Not a selfish marriage. A selfless. That you don't care about yourself. That there's no I in team. There's no I in marriage. There actually is an I in marriage. But you understand what I'm trying to say. Right? Us guys, we have it good. Think about it. Throughout school, your parents did everything for you. You go, you spend 1 year, 2 years, if you're lucky, in Israel, with your parents' credit card, or with the money that, you know, that you worked, you know, you worked and you spend it on yourselves, right? But you live, throughout those days, you're living a life that's only for yourself. You ask yourself questions like, what am I going to eat for breakfast? What should I learn? Who should I learn with? Where am I going for Shabbat? When should I hang out with my friends? Which friends should I hang out with? Where should I go with my friends? You get the theme over here? I. We're always worrying about ourselves. It's all about the I. You're in college now. So let's continue these questions. Which classes should I choose? What should I learn on my free time? What should I do on my free time? Which club should I join? Which team should I try out for? What should I eat for lunch? I don't want to eat in the caf. I get that all the time. I don't want to eat in the caf. Right? Nothing wrong with the, no offense to the caf. But right, what am I eating for dinner? Where am I going for Shabbat? I. Again, continuing with the I. When you'll be ready to stop worrying about the I and start worrying about you, that word, you, getting yourself used to saying that word, you, and not I, then you're ready to get married and you're ready to live a life filled with happiness. To love is a decision that you make. It's an action. Very often people ask, so what should I look for in a girl? Right? Again, the I. But at least now he's thinking about his future. He's thinking about a soulmate. What should I look for in a girl? And I'm not here to tell you that this is the only answer. There are obviously a million things that you should be looking for in a girl. I don't mean to take away from any of those other reasons, any of those other things, facts that you're looking for, that are all very important. But one thing you need to look for is you want to see if this girl is committed to loving you. Is she committed to loving you? Is she committed to do for you? To sacrifice for you? Not is she in love with you. There's no end of akas. It's a decision that you make. When you do for someone, you love them. When you don't do for that person, you're not invested in that person, you'll let go of them in a day. With this, Bezat Hashem, we can begin to understand the parasha. Let's begin, at least begin to touch, to scratch the surface. Eliezer brought with him a lot of camels. How do you say camels in Hebrew? Gemalim. Okay? Does that word ring any bells? Gemalim? Gemilah? Okay. Gemilut? Chasadim. Ah, Gemilut Chasadim. Right? So we see there's a link, and it's not something I made up. The Kli Yakar says this on the page. It says that Dafka Gemalim for that reason. So he brought with him Gemalim. He wanted to see what would happen. So what was his test? What was he really trying to do? He was really asking only for water for himself. Once he saw a woman who went out of her way to give not only water for him, for Eliezer, but also to his camels, he knew that she was the one. Why? He was looking for a giver. He's looking for someone who did kind acts. He specifically brought Gemalim. Look, listen to this, amazing guys. He specifically brought Gemalim, camels. Why camels? Because Gemalim comes from the word Gomel Chasadim Tovim. Right? And he wanted to see who will attach themselves to a Gamal, to Gemalim. Who is attached to this concept of Gemalim, of Gemilut Chasadim? Who is completely made up of giving and of kindness and not of selfishness? Once Eliezer saw that she was the one, what did he do? He gave her some gifts. What did he give her? He gave her a nose ring which weighed the same as what? Machatzita shekel. Guys, let me ask you, what was the machatzita shekel all about? What was it? Huh? Okay, good. But what were the Jews supposed to do in order to be counted? To what? To give. Eliezer says, I see you're the right one. How do I know you're the right one? Because you're a giver. So let me give you something that resembles giving. Machzit HaShekel. I'll give you a nose ring that weighs a beka, just like the Machzit HaShekel. What else did he give her? Two bracelets that weighed what? 10 golden shekalim. So 2, remember, is the Shnei Luchot, and 10 was what? Aseret Adibot, 10 commandments. What's the connection? The 2 Luchot had what on it? The 10 commandments. 10 commandments, sometimes people think Judaism is all about my relationship between me and Hashem. It's all about me and Hashem, ben Adam lamakom. I put on tefillin. I'm learning Torah. I'm keeping Shabbat. I'm shaking lulav. I'm putting on talit. I'm reading Megillah. But sometimes we forget that half of the Torah is about not about you and God. It's about you and the person right next to you. It's about you and your wife. It's about you and your parents. That's why half of the Aseret HaDibrot are ben Adam lamakom, and half of them are ben Adam lachaviro, are between one and his fellow man. So Eliezer saw that Rivka was a person who not only she woke up for tefillah in the morning, she said tehillim like a good Jew, she did mitzvot, learned Torah and did mitzvot. Not only that, but she was a person who was there, who gave of herself to what? To other people. Ben Adam l'chavero also. That's Aseret HaDibur. That's the Shnei Luchot. That's why he gave her those two things. Loving someone doesn't mean giving a gift to your wife, to your friend, taking a snapping a picture of it and then posting it on social media so all your friends should see it. Right? Like I remember there was a basketball player, he's not worth naming his name. He cheated on his wife. He's a Hall of Fame basketball player, he's a very good ball player. He cheated on his wife, happens to be, right? And what did he do just to make up with her? He bought her a $10 million ring. Right? Everything's okay. And he posted it, everyone heard about it. Wow, oh unbelievable. Wow. You know what? He really feels bad about what he did. He doesn't feel bad. Feels bad about what he did. And he wants to say sorry. So what did he do? He gave her that. That means loving your wife. That's what it is. Loving your wife.
That's buying.
Doing something so that everyone should see. Posting on social media.
That's giving.
Right? That's a selfish act. Why is it a selfish act? You're giving, right? You're right. You're giving. Nachon. But why are you posting it? Why does everyone have to see what you're doing? So what does it mean? What does it mean? It's a selfish act. You're giving for yourself, not for her. You're giving, right, for yourself because you enjoy it when everyone sees what you're doing. That's why you're giving. Loving someone, right? What is true love? True love is loving someone else when you have nothing to gain from it. When you have nothing, go and give to your wife without anyone knowing.
Things better have more benefit.
Nachon. You should always be giving, beseta. Always in hiding. Always quietly. And that's why we learn the laws of marriage from the sale of Avraham and Ephron, the sale of Marat HaMachpelah. Ephron, what did Ephron do? If you look at the psukim, he was a coward. What did he do? First, he said to Avraham in front of everyone. He said, listen, Avraham, you're a very special chashuv person. Take it for free. Take it. Just take it. Don't worry. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about money. And Avraham was like, really? Are you sure? No, I'm not going to take it. In Persian, they call that what?
Taro.
Okay. Right? It was a Tarof battle over here. Right? It was a Tarof battle. He said, take it. Avraham said, no, please, I'll pay you. And then who tapped out first? Ephron tapped out first. He said, okay, fine, you know what? Give me $500 million for it. Not only did he charge for it, he overcharged for it. Right? What's the pshat? What was he trying to do? He's trying to show off to everyone, look how generous I am, look how kind I am to Avraham. Avraham was a very, very chashuv person. But deep down, he was selfish. He did that for the show. He really wanted it. He whispered in Avraham, Avraham, please, I just said that publicly, but please, write the check out to me for $500 million. That's what he was doing. Giving in public, and while really deep down not wanting to give, that's not called love. That's not called giving. That's not called giving. So that's why the Torah tells us that we learn the laws of marriage from here, because this is what you're not supposed to do. This is what a marriage is not supposed to look like. To give for your own sake, to give for your own selfish reasons, no, that's not giving. That's not love. What is love? Look what Eliezer did with Rivka. That's true love. That's true love. That's true giving. So Rabotai, it's something, I'm sorry if I labeled this shiur, how to live a successful marriage, but it's not limited to marriage, my friends. It's limited to friends, it's limited to roommates, it's limited to chavrutas, right? And of course, it also applies to what to look for in another girl. That's what you want to look for. You want to look to see, is she selfish or not? Is she living a life for herself? And it's very hard to detect that, but it's something that you have to have an eye for. Is she living a life for herself? Is he living a life for himself? Is he a selfish man? Is he always worrying about himself? So then what's going to happen? When Bezrat Hashem, you have one kid, two kids, right? So you thought he was, he bought you a beautiful diamond, engagement ring. You thought he's a giver. But in the middle of the night, when the baby's crying and needs to be changed, who's getting up? I need my sleep. I need to wake up in the morning. I need to go to sleep. I can't be woken up. When he comes home and dinner is not ready, right? So is he barking at his wife? Is he saying, hey, I need to eat when I get home. I had a long day at work. Is that what he's saying? But I thought he was a giver. When you guys were dating, he was a tremendous giver. No, deep down he's not a giver. Deep down she's not a giver. You have to have an eye for these things. who is a giver? Because someone who will give equals someone who will love. Someone who will always take equals someone who will not really love. Love is all about giving. Ahava comes from the word hav. That explains all these questions. Rabotai, there's so much to learn from these parashiyot. Hashem should give us a lot of bracha and a lot of atzlacha. That Bezat Hashem, everyone in this room that is on the market, or even if you're not yet on the market, Bezat Hashem, Hashem should make the process for you as easy as possible, as smooth as possible. That Hashem should give you a lot of clarity and no confusion, and you should find the right one. The first one should be the right one, and should be clear to you. And Bezat Hashem, when you do get it, or the ones who are married, I don't think anyone here is married except for me, but ones who are married and the ones who will get married, Bezat Hashem, your marriage should be a complete success. But always remember that it's not a joke. Marriage is give and take. You give, they take. But you give and they take. And they should be thinking the same way. You give and they take. Giving, giving, giving. That's how to love. That's how to live a happy marriage. And trust me, the more you give, the more your spouse will want to give you. Because the more they're going to feel loved. The more you give, the more they're going to feel loved. The more they're going to feel loved, the more they're going to want to give back to you. It works both ways. Hashem, you give us a lot of bracha v'atzlacha. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening.